I just want to give you guys a quick warning before we go into this podcast. There are some things that might trigger or upset people, especially younger audiences. So viewer discretion is advised. I think that's the term.
Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you.
Today on Geek Tank, we give you a brief overview of YouTube and its problems.
We go over a couple of YouTubers who've crossed the line and why.
And stick around for our Ask Us Anything at the end of the show and find out how we deal with paid escorts.
After this.
Hi, I'm Troy.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank,
your tuber-sized podcast.
Now with more spuds.
Today, we're talking about YouTube controversies. But first, the news. In the news, NASA is blowing the dust off of the nuclear rocket program with an $18.8 million contract with BWXT Nuclear Energy. Nuclear rockets would cut the flight time to Mars. Opportunity saw its 5,000th sol on Mars last Saturday, speaking of Mars. Yeah. For a rover that was only supposed to see 90 sols, it's doing a pretty good job. It turns out that the galaxy of Andromeda is about the same size as the Milky Way, not three times as large as we thought before, which has good news and bad news. That means it's also pretty close to us. And SpaceX is launching the first of its 12,000 internet constellation satellites. The end goal appears to be to have a network of internet satellites orbiting the planet.
Nice. So coming out on Friday, the 23rd of February, is a movie called, I'm pausing for dramatic effect, mostly because I totally spaced, Annihilation. It annihilated out of my brain. It's a sci-fi drama, but I would also venture horror because the trailer I saw had a jumpy scene.
Uh-oh.
Which means probably not for you.
Nope.
It stars Natalie Portman, Gina Rodriguez, Oscar Isaac. It is directed by Alex Garland. So, sci-fi film, and it's going to be rated... Oh, rating not available yet. Okay.
Well, it's rated non-available.
It's non-available. So, here we go. In seeking answers to her husband's tragic disappearance, a biologist volunteers for an expedition into an area sealed off by the government for the last 30 years as an environmental disaster zone. A secret agency known as the Southern Reach has sent in 11 expeditions over those years to discover the truth about Area X, and those attempts were failures. She and her team find a pristine wilderness, but they also notice quickly that the rules of nature and evolution seem to work a little differently. So it's based on a novel by Jeff Vandermeer. The novel is the first book in a trilogy called the Southern Reach Trilogy.
So Area X, is that
Area
where they build all
the
of
spot.
Those
oh.
space planes and
SpaceX?
Stuff like that? That's where the UFOs are.
Area SpaceX.
Area SpaceX.
So, yeah, there you go.
In horrible news, there are fake Twitter accounts recalling attacks on white people trying to go see the Black Panther movie, and they're complete and utter lies.
Boo on those people.
Yeah,
seriously.
It's really awful. And the biggest thing is that they're using photos of people who have been victims of domestic abuse.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is getting ridiculous and people really need to stop it. Thankfully, people are pointing out these accounts. You know, it's all over that these are fake. This is ridiculous. This is not actually happening. Black Panther is an amazing movie and you should go see it.
There you go.
Fantastic. So go see the movie, enjoy it, and maybe avoid social media for now.
And that's the news. So if you guys have been listening to Chelsea's news reports, you've probably caught on that there's a lot of trouble going on with YouTube recently. And specifically
kind of
YouTubers.
Coaster.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this, Chelsea. You came up with this idea that we should talk about this.
Definitely. YouTubers kind of get away with a lot. I know my generation and the generation following me specifically tend to migrate more towards YouTube instead of central media because it appeals more to our tastes. We can watch people play games. We can have them feed us news based on games, based on sports, based on whatever. So it's really tailored to what you want to watch.
Right.
Which makes it really, really nice. And I enjoy that factor about it. I like getting my news without the BS. A kitten is up in a tree and an old lady had to get it. I hate that. I just want news. I don't want
You don't want,
flesh.
The kitten and no. the old lady.
And I don't want a billion people were murdered today. I don't want to hear that. So I want things that are relevant to me. So I watch a lot of Philip DeFranco. I watch a lot of different YouTubers depending on what games they're playing. I watch a couple wacky comedians because I enjoy their content and it really helps lift my spirits on bad days. But
I would
YouTube,
say you watch more YouTube than you do television, right?
I do.
Because I've noticed that with my kids. They watch more YouTube than television.
I think I watch more YouTube than I watch Netflix.
Which in my mind I still equate as television, although I know it's not because you can watch YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, and we also like, my boyfriend and I like a lot of creepy stories. So we listen to people on YouTube. They'll read creepy stories from Reddit, from like R No Sleep or Lovecraftian stories, and they're posted on YouTube, so we'll subscribe to those as well. Or I'm a true crime trash person. I love true crime. I listen to like cold cases that have never been solved and stuff like that.
Our No Sleep has more blue links in my world, I swear. And there's a Reddit statement that nobody will get.
So YouTube's kind of a hot mess, and it has been for the last couple years that I've noticed since I've been watching. There's a lot of issues. I think it was starting early last year with commercials with the London stabbings. There was a video on YouTube of a guy who was like, hey, these vests that these cops have are really not effective, and they need better equipment. It was kind of a PSA, and he was showing how knives could go through that. Well, advertisers viewed him as a terrorist, showing people how to stab cops. So I believe his channel got disabled, and there was this whole huge backlash about advertisers being like, oh my God, our ad was on this person's video. Like, you need to be better about this, Google. You can't just sit back and just pretend that this isn't happening. And the biggest problem is that YouTube is so big. Hundreds of thousands of videos are being uploaded daily. They have an algorithm to keep track of it. So multiple things have come out of this. So this advertiser issue has come out of it. There have been a couple like prank videos. There's been like the Logan Paul video. There's been some people dropping really negative racial and religious slurs that have gotten in trouble by the people watching instead of YouTube. And YouTube like waits 6 months and then all of a sudden there's consequences. Why do you wait 6 freaking months? Or even a month, or even 10 days. Like, you need to react pretty much within a few because it's the internet. The internet is always watching. They're always constantly vigilant, and they want to see consequences for things, and they want to at least hear something. And when a channel is silent, especially like Google and YouTube do not respond very quickly, and it's a huge, huge problem. Other problems on YouTube have been videos for children. They look like they're for children, like Elsa's Frozen, and she's pregnant, and then they cut it open and rip a baby and burn it.
We probably should have gave them a warning at the top of the show here.
Probably. But those videos were really bad, and they were really widespread, and it was awful, and they weren't getting taken down. Not nearly fast enough. And then YouTube was like, oh, we're going to hire a couple hundred thousand people to check videos, and it's not helped. Not a lot. I did a YouTube survey recently, and I told them, listen, you guys have to get your stuff together, because I've seen really awful comments, I've seen awful videos, and I've reported them, and they're still up. Why are they still there?
Right.
Get it off. You need to be more vigilant.
Now, I guess we should probably let you go on ahead and continue your analysis
I'm
before.
I'm questions, but I'm wondering if these questions are better for a little later in the show. Which
That's
is,
what I was going to say. I've got a whole bunch of questions that are coming up.
And what's the line with censorship, and then what's the solution? But let's save those for later. Mm-hmm. Go a little more into the... So this with your news stories, this really, I think, hit at least my radar more with the Paul Logan?
Yeah, okay. Logan Paul.
I was going to say, isn't Paul Logan the guy from Crocodile Dundee?
That's not a knife.
I don't know. But with his thing, with the disrespect, which we should probably recap, that in case people, so, this is their first episode ever listening.
Yeah, Logan Paul was at the very tail end of last year and the beginning of this year. He went to the Japanese suicide forest, and what's the forest?
Aogakimori.
Thank you. It is kind of a revered space because people are trying to be respectful and they understand what happens there. There are warnings all over the park. There are signs that encourage you to seek help, that if you need people, here's where you can find them. But a lot of people hang themselves in that forest.
Well, okay, so real quickly, as a background to Aogakimori, it isn't actually a suicide forest. Specifically, it's not funded
by the government.
It's not funded for
that.
what it is, it's a national park, but it's a very large,
Isn't it open area, national. Right at the base of Mount Fuji.
It's at the base
as well?
Of Mount Fuji. It's very lovely, and it's very hard to find your way into, and it's very hard to find your way out of.
Yeah.
And it's not very well patrolled by park rangers, because it's difficult to navigate. What happens is that if you, the most common way to, sadly, commit suicide in Japan up until recently is to walk out in front of the trains. And the problem with that is that it causes a major, major problem. Mm-hmm. And what happened was Japan Rail, or JR, would ultimately charge the family for all of the costs of having the train offline and everything like that. So your suicide ultimately ended up being a major burden on families to try to be a deterrent for these people to committing suicide. So instead of committing suicide by jumping in front of trains, people started going into this forest where nobody could find them. And it was easier for them to not be found, so that became sort of a thing where, so it's not like the forest is, you know, the sanctioned, you know, this is where you go to commit suicide. It's just that happens. Right. And so now, of course, the officials are trying desperately to curb people from going into Aogakimori.
Definitely. And it's unfortunately a huge tourist spot.
It is.
I don't feel is very respectful.
But people are curious. The Japanese would rather that it be a lovely forest to go in to observe Mount Fuji.
Exactly.
Instead of going in there to observe dead people.
It's kind of dangerous to go in there because you can get lost very easily. And that could be very, very bad for you because it is a huge park. So you could starve.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who have issues going in there for different reasons.
There are also people who have committed suicide. So Logan Paul was in Japan and he decided to go into this forest. And the clip for his video is literally him in a little Martian's hat from Toy Story gawking at a blurred out body hanging.
So also one of the things that these people will do, and I can't remember what the reasoning behind it is, but they will leave a string so that, and I like I said, there's a reason, there's a significance for it, but they will leave a string to the entrance of the forest or something like that.
Yeah, so someone can find them and get them.
So I don't know if it's to find them or whatever. So the reason that it disturbs me is because it wouldn't have been hard for Logan Paul to find a corpse.
He went in filming.
Right, but I mean,
what
it wouldn't have been hard
expect?
If you know that you can follow these strings. That's one of the things that they will do.
And the biggest thing is that he's not far off the trail. He's not far inside the park, and he finds this body. And instead of going for help, instead of acting like a rational human being, he's making jokes. He's laughing about it. He stands there like, oh my God, we found a dead body. Yay.
Yeah.
He just keeps going. And then he tries to end.
More importantly, he airs this.
Exactly. He put it up on YouTube. And YouTube did nothing. It was trending. It was in the top 10 trending videos for about 2 days. And then Logan Paul himself pulled it down, put up an apology, stayed away from YouTube for a little while. He came back recently and interviewed a couple people who had attempted suicide. He apologized profusely, but I don't think he's learned his lesson, because this is not the first thing with Logan Paul. I mean, he's done some brash pranks. He's pretended to have been shot in front of fans in his apartment.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing for me is his fans are kids.
Yeah.
They're anywhere from 8 to 15, and right. they're watching his content, and this is the content he is giving them.
Well, let's go on ahead and go to a break, and we'll come right back right after this.
Hi, I'm Amanda Tapping. I played Colonel Carter in Stargate SG-1. Geek Tank, so beautiful and sexy. Stay tuned.
And we are back. We are here at our favorite Starbucks on Wadsworth, south of First, north of Alameda. And we are talking about idiots on YouTube. I should say rich idiots on YouTube, because if it's just idiots, that'd include us.
Right.
But it's... So the question becomes, you know, obviously the motive is popularity and money, because they're making lots of money.
Yeah, it's clickbait and it's shock, because in a world where everything is at your fingertips, pretty much, I mean, we've got Live Leak where you can see horrendous things. You have, like, true crime is at the kind of the front of our minds every day, because we see it in media, and there are tons of shows about true crime. There are tons of information that you can find out. It's kind of... There's no censorship, really, in particular, unless you actively put it there, especially for children.
So with the money side of things, I found this interesting, is I always assumed it was, like, clicks and subscribers that dictated the amount of money you got.
Right.
It's actually related to how many of your viewers click on the ads.
Right.
So
that makes some sense.
So if I didn't have a lot of subscribers, but everyone who came to watch my videos actually watched the ads and clicked on the ads, that would generate money for me. But
if I like a YouTuber, I usually just watch the ad until the end, because I don't really mind.
Right.
Because I want to support them, but I don't usually click on them.
So I'm not sure what it means by that. Because, yeah, when I've gone to YouTube... you have the option on some of them to skip the ad after about 5 seconds. Other ones you have to watch for the full.
So do they make like a tiny bit of money on that, because you've seen like 3 seconds?
Yeah. And of course, when you upload a video, you need to make sure that you've set it to be monetized, and that all of the content on it and the music on it is yours.
We should specifically point out that Logan Paul did not monetize his video for the Suicide Forest, but he did jump about $6,000 in subscribers, which is significant.
Yeah, so it's one of those, it was publicity and advertising.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's all the Streisand effect. And that was actually something I was going to talk about. The Streisand effect is like, that's a known effect that is, a while back, Barbra Streisand bought a piece of land. And she didn't want people to see said piece of land. So she asked for the photographer who had taken the pictures of the piece of land to not publish the pictures of the land online. And he wouldn't, so she sued him. Well, as soon as she sued him, everybody and their uncle on the internet had to see the piece of land.
Yeah.
And it became the most popular piece of land ever searched on Google. So it's called the Streisand effect. The moment that you do something, it's got to be seen. Yeah. So as soon as Logan Paul did something bad, it had to be seen. Everybody had to see it.
People were reacting to it. There were some videos of people from Japan going like, this is extremely disrespectful, not only pointing out that video, but they were also pointing out his other video where he and his buddies dressed up like Pokemon in little pajamas and were throwing Pokeballs at people in traffic, police officers just throwing them like at them in the street. Logan also showed a little bit of something else where he had an octopus tentacle and a fish, and he was like slamming it on store windows like, would you eat this? Would you eat this? And he started both those videos with, I don't want to be disrespectful. That's extremely disrespectful.
I don't even know what to say about that.
As a friend has pointed out,
arrested.
This behavior is very similar to, and I'm going to say a word here, get your kids out of the room. It's the word for butt. Well, it's from a show called Jackass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is people doing really dumb and disrespectful things on camera without the people that it's happening to realizing they're being on camera.
For part of it, yeah. Some things are in controlled environments, but they do that shock factor stuff. I mean, like Bad Grandpa was pure shock factor.
Yeah.
And a lot of times stuff is set up with actors pretending to not know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit of Borat, the movie Borat, was shot where only a few people might not know what's going on and they were getting their reactions to things. But it's but for entertainment value, people like to think that these pranks are having an effect on people, that are shocking them or upsetting them or disgusting them.
Well, and prank videos are huge. And to kind of roll off of that, there is a YouTuber named Sam Pepper, who I honestly think is an awful human being. Sam Pepper likes to do prank videos and shock value videos. He has been called out because he was grabbing women a lot without their permission. And he also did this prank video, which I can't even. If you see the screenshots from this video, you can tell this is not... The guy's not buying it.
Right.
Essentially, he works with two other vloggers. One is named Cody. And where's the other one?
Our show is sponsored by the letter A and the number 12.
Cody and his best friend, who's another vlogger. So essentially, the prank was that they were going to kill, quote unquote, the other guy's best friend.
Right.
On camera and get his reaction.
Right.
And in the video, both guys get kidnapped. They get thrown in a car. They're shown later. They take the bag off the kid's head. He's screaming. He's begging for their lives. They show the other kid with the bag over his head. He gets shot. He slumps to the ground and he is crying and screaming. He's just lost his best friend.
Right.
And then he gets up, takes the hood off. He's like, it's just a prank, bro.
Yeah.
And they say that they're okay, but I haven't heard about these two ever again. That's like,
they're not okay. I hate to say this, but if I did that to either one of you two, we wouldn't be okay.
Completely awful. I can't imagine that.
You know what prank I pulled on Guy? So it was his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we were collaborating on a project together with like a few other friends, and I had one of the friends call him up and say that I was having a breakdown and just did not want to work on the project anymore. And while he was on the phone with him, we knocked on his door, and when he opened the door, we had a birthday cake there.
Yeah, see, that one's a reasonable prank, though.
That's a
that
good
was okay.
Prank.
There's cake at the end of it.
There was cake at the end.
Now, did this guy
but
give him cake at the
death.
End of pretending his death?
No.
See, no cake.
There was no cake.
No good prank. See. I mean, like, my
that was actually, that was a fun birthday surprise.
On Tyler
but see,
was
that was a good way to
like,
do a birthday surprise without startling me.
Right.
I watched.
It wasn't Troy's dead.
Yeah, and there was
right.
no Troy's dead.
There was no death. I washed Tyler's favorite shirt, and then I bought a shirt that was super, super smaller, and I was like, babe, I accidentally shrunk your favorite shirt. And he was like, what? And then I was like wearing it under my hoodie, so I just like took off the hoodie. I was like, just kidding. Like, that's a prank.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a prank.
That's
that
a prank.
That was actually pretty clever, too.
Yes.
That's a pretty clever version of
it
a
was,
prank.
It was ridiculous, too.
Yeah, it's
so,
ridiculous.
And that was pretty funny.
The two were Sam and Colby. So Sam is tricked into believing that he's watching Colby being murdered.
Right.
Super
so
not
that's,
okay.
That's not
so,
okay.
So there's this line, and I have an anti-April Fool's role in our house.
Yeah, mm-hmm. me too.
And it's because really, here's the thing about pranks. If a prank is making somebody upset or playing on their trust of you, mm-hmm. then there's a problem with it.
Yes.
Because you are penalizing their trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you trust me enough to believe that if someone was to come in and shoot me or we were to get kidnapped, then you're putting trust in me that I wouldn't abuse your trust to set up a situation like that.
Right.
To that level and that degree. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a level of pranking that is not making fun of someone's gullibility or trust, because it's not really gullibility, it's their trust in you that you're abusing. So if you can work it to where they're not the butt of the joke and their trust in you is not being abused, then that's how you get the better part of the prank. Or that it's something absurd, like the little tiny shirt or
yeah.
something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these people clearly have found a line, and they're pushing their line and their abuse of what's happening in order to get the views and to get the money. So do these, and they're being encouraged to do this because they're getting the views. They're getting
right,
the money. Right,
they're getting subscribers. They're getting people who are reacting. And Sam Pepper has done a lot of these social experiment videos, but I think in honesty, and you can believe me for this, he's just an asshole. So that's my personal opinion. I don't like him very much. He quit YouTube in 2016, and then, of course, he crawled back like a tiny insect to be squashed.
Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back to see if we can come up with a solution to this after this.
Hi, everybody. Deacon Taylor here, hanging out in the greater Denver area. And we are raising awareness, talking about how we're going to help get veterans off the streets using some of the amazing programs we have in this region. If you'd like to learn more, check out Night Glider at Night Glider 39 on Facebook. That's KNIGHTGLIDER.
All right, so I was just kidding. That last guy actually went to jail. Yay, justice in the world. He went to jail for groping women.
There you go.
There's a couple
Who else
other...
went to jail recently about the pedophilia thing?
The pedophilia thing. Austin Jones, who did a lot of a cappella stuff on YouTube, he was arrested for 2 counts of child pornography after coming back from a concert in Poland.
So this is slightly different, though. It wasn't because of junk he was doing on YouTube.
No, this is because of the junk he was doing behind the scenes to his fans. So right. He asked 2 girls for videos to say that they were 14 in the videos and to twerk, preferably naked. Which is not okay. And he said, if you're my biggest fan, you'll do this for me. If you're my biggest fan, if you're my biggest fan, if you promise me, blah, blah, blah. He took advantage of young
gotcha,
women.
So.
And he's a jerk.
Wow.
There are also 2 pranksters who are thankfully finally suffering the consequences of their action who are awful. Daddy05, I don't know if you heard about this last year, but they call themselves a quote-unquote prank channel. The main video is with their youngest. They put a bunch of invisible ink on their carpet and threw a bunch of Uno cards down, and then they brought him upstairs and pointed to it and said, you did this, why did you do this? Both parents are screaming. The kid is melting down crying, saying, I swear to God, I didn't do this. And they just keep doing it for shock value and for giggles. And they said, you know, it's just a prank, you know, we're not awful parents. But 2 of their children were removed from their custody.
Yeah, because that's child abuse.
Yeah, that is child abuse. Absolutely,
and that's
abuse.
The line about us talking about. They were abusing trust that their child had in them,
right.
For humor.
Now,
it sucks.
The 2 children were luckily they had a biological mother that was different from their stepmom, who was able to remove them from the home and take good care of them. There are still 3 children in that home. They still have another channel called Family05. They just posted a video like 3 months ago. But it's ridiculous, and I'm glad it was brought to light because a lot of people were upset about it.
Right.
And the biggest thing is they blame the Philip DeFranco channel, which is the news channel I watch, for like taking their children away and taking their channel and just being abusive towards them, when all he did was report what they were doing and show footage
right.
to let people know what was going on.
That's,
so,
you know, you do something wrong and then you get caught
people.
And then you have to blame somebody else.
Exactly, because you can't take responsibility.
Yeah,
nobody
takes responsibility. Yeah.
In the age of the internet.
In the
when
age
it's
of
all
the
online.
So this is one of those things where the line is, and that's an excuse used all the time. It was just a joke. Can't you take a joke? And it's you got to educate people. And YouTube,
sometimes it's not a joke.
It's not. It's the consequences that come after it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things. Actions have impact, just like words have impact.
Well, and the biggest thing on the internet, it seems like things roll over so quickly because there's so much going on. We have so much information coming at us that things are rolling over so fast.
Yeah.
So, but YouTube in particular isn't responding. Mm-hmm. And it's hideous.
So here's the thing. There's so much content coming in, and they only have so many people to sift through it. And to cover the amount of content coming in would then eat into what money they're making. There's a balance between profit margin and what they can actually do. So maybe they need to have a longer turnaround time on videos for content.
It does make me wonder, because that brought me to your... I don't mean to cut you off, but...
You did.
Yeah, I cut
I'm
you off.
I'm going to report you.
No, that's actually true. I wanted to cut you off.
DMT, take down.
So, but that was something I wanted to bring back to the first section that we had, where you were talking about why isn't YouTube dealing with this faster? And I thought about this, and I was like, my problem, of course, is that, you know, the takedowns. Mm-hmm. You know, you got, I remember earlier when, you know, you could report them on these things and they would take them down instantly for no reason whatsoever.
Right. And they'll investigate for 3 days and then they'll put it back up if it's unfounded.
Right.
That's 3 days you're not making money on a video. And if somebody just wants to hide it, they can do that.
Right.
They did that to Jim Sterling. They're doing that to Scarfing Scarves. There's a bunch of channels I watch that have DMCA takedowns on them, which are completely and utterly to hide that content.
Just so that they can lock it down.
And just to lash out and attack, yeah.
Right.
It's completely
so they're using it as an attack.
Yeah.
So the automated systems, they're using the automated system as an attack.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got somebody using the system against YouTubers.
Right.
You know, so you can't have it. So you literally need
Alex
to have a
Maller,
staff.
That whole situation, went on for months, and
right.
YouTube did nothing to punish her. Nothing.
Right. But what you were saying earlier was that we're talking, 10,000 YouTube videos put up a day?
I threw that number out of the air.
Probably more.
Let's just say 10,000.
10,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you just said it. See, he said it. But that means that you literally are going to need a staff of 10,000 people.
Right, and they were hiring people,
them.
But how many people were they hiring, and are they actually looking for things? They need to seriously reevaluate YouTube because our other outlets are gone. What was the big one for a while? Blip was a big one because they didn't censor nudity.
Right.
God.
Vimeo.
So you have the problem of
Vimeo's still
does
up.
Music videos, though. They don't really do other things.
So I've uploaded stuff, and the turnaround's fast, mm-hmm. which means I would be surprised if a real person looked at any of the videos I've uploaded.
Well, no, there's no humans interacting with
the
uploads.
Why would they scan the content? I mean, robots can be used for good. They can scan things and put things into...
Spoken like someone appeasing our new robot leaders that will soon take over the world.
I like our Google overlords, but seriously, like, YouTube has become such a cluster that it's honestly a monster they literally can't handle anymore. But there's no other video streaming services out there where creators can put out things that they're creating and make money off of it.
Right.
Unless they're in Hollywood or, you know, up in Canada on the filmmaking scene. It's just
but
not
still,
possible.
I mean, that's my thought is that you've got a situation where you've got a huge volume that needs to rather literally be manhandled by
just
a
like,
human.
Oh, it's not us. It's all on the creators. You know, they'll figure it out.
Well,
they
I think
a lazy approach to it. It's very lazy. It's very like, not our circus, not our circus tents. And you're like, but it is your circus in your circus tent.
Well, what I'm trying to say, though, Chelsea, is that you're asking for a volume of people.
Yeah.
You're asking for 10,000 people, employees.
So Google, hire them.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And get it done.
Yeah. At $15 an hour.
Heck yes. Let's go.
But it's going to eventually YouTube won't be profitable and then it'll shut down.
But advertisers are pulling. This is a problem. We had the adpocalypse.
I know, but what I'm saying is as a business model, that's not a very viable business model.
Mm-hmm.
That's more employees than like, you know, Target.
Right. Yeah, see, and if you have a lower number of employees, which is more reasonable, eventually the volume of stuff they're sifting through is going to pile up beyond their ability.
Look at what is like YouTube's actual staff right now.
Yeah, we need to look at how many people are in YouTube now. But I mean, the point I'm getting at is I think that what we need is that I'm sure that they are not saying we don't want to look at it because we're lazy. I'm sure that what they're saying is...
You were right. It's exactly 10,000 Google staff.
Dang! Nice!
I don't know how I did that.
But I mean, it's like, I'm sure that the point is, with that many videos going up a day, their statement isn't, we're not doing it because we're lazy. I think their statement is, there's no way we can hire that many people to physically monitor each video coming in.
The billions of dollars they pull in every single year, and if they want to keep their advertisers...
If they're billions of dollars...
How would it hurt the system if they had a stricter upload policy if you've never uploaded before and we don't know who you are, mm-hmm. you have to apply. you have to send us a video.
Well,
or
that, and that may be what needs to happen, is some kind of change in policy.
Yeah. But the biggest thing is that if somebody reports a video, if enough people report a video, if there's a percentage of watchers who are reporting a video, they need to look at it. And they need to react.
And I think that happens. Yeah. I think that happens.
Sometimes not fast enough. Maybe Logan Paul's video was up for 2 freaking days.
Maybe it's a percentage of their watchers because it has to reach 1/4 of their viewers.
And here's the icing on the cake for me with the Logan Paul thing, because it just shows me how much they're not paying attention, because Logan Paul's their little golden boy, right? He puts out vlogs every single day. He has a ton of subscribers. And since they got rid of PewDiePie, even though he's still on the YouTube platform, they're like, oh, Logan Paul is going to be so much better. Logan Paul has 16.6 million subscribers compared to PewDiePie, who is the top with 60.6 million subscribers. Logan Paul's video was top trending, the suicide video, in YouTube's list of top trending for 2 days while it was up. 2 days, nothing happened until Logan Paul himself took it down. And YouTube said it violated their community guidelines.
Right. But you know what probably happened was somebody probably looked at it and said, oh, no, this is probably not a good thing, and uploaded or put it to their manager. And the manager probably argued about it with their other manager. I mean, you're
it's not good enough.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things.
When it's on your top 10 list.
Sure. But my whole point is that you've got kind of a situation where you and I are looking at it going, well, that was obvious. Mm-hmm. But if we sit there and just take down videos arbitrarily, you know what's going to happen. You'll have people who are like, yeah, YouTube was like the Nazis. Mm-hmm. They were taking down everything, left and right. All those videos going down all the time. And that would be what you'd have. Mm-hmm. So there was likely somebody who was sitting there going, are we sure that we should be taking this down? Should
there comes
we be
the
taking
question
it down?
Too. I mean, it's obvious to us, and I imagine most of our listeners, but I wouldn't even say all of them because who knows, that the video that he shot in Japan was in really bad taste and should not have been on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that I'm devil's advocating here. I am not saying this is a good
censorship,
video.
In the censorship concept, they needed to look at, did it clearly violate the laws that they had in their YouTube policy? And I'm sure it did. Mm-hmm. And then they had to apply that with a very strict eye because they don't want to be known as the censorship people outside of what they normally do.
Right. They don't want to be taking down videos because they don't like them. Mm-hmm. They need to be taking down videos because they violated rules that you should have read.
And if it doesn't fit the rules, they need to change their rules.
So, right. And so probably what you had some first level manager look at it and go, holy crap, this sucks. But then, should we take it down? I don't know. Went to a second level manager. Second level manager was going through all the legalese. So, I mean, you know what I mean? Like I said, I don't think that it was like nobody just was looking around. Everybody was like, you know, twiddling their thumbs. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that somebody was looking at that.
I'm sure if someone looked at it and went, as many as people that were complaining about it, I'm sure there are people that are going, this was really funny. I'm glad you posted this. And they're having to weigh that bad taste appreciation.
Right, because there are a lot
of
things
where they have very clear community guidelines.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things. You post, I hate the president. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, depending on what political leaning I'm on, is it okay for me to decide to cancel that out and say that violates community guidelines?
It's hate speech.
It's hate speech.
Well, PewDiePie's video, for instance, where he was on Fiverr, where he paid some people to write "God hates Jews" on a piece of paper and broadcasted it, and he put it up on his channel. He got excommunicated pretty much instantly. He was taken off their preferred advertiser program. He was kind of off on his own. He can upload, but he doesn't get any preferential treatment or any backing. Essentially,
it may have just been
YouTube.
That day they had all their gears firing. And they caught
it. And PewDiePie's had some issues before, saying the N-word and other issues. I mean, he's been a problem, but he's also
their biggest
star.
Yeah, right.
And they honestly, there haven't really been very many consequences.
And I think that's the biggest problem that we have is that especially when you have the power to push the button and kill a video, you have to be really careful that you're not doing it because you hate it. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's otherwise you're, especially when you're YouTube,
right?
And everybody can watch it.
It would be a violation of free speech.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, then you're in charge of saying what everybody can see.
So the takeaway I'd like to offer our audience listening is YouTube's a minefield. You need to explore it at your own risk. And if you have kids watching YouTube, don't let them wander off on their own out there in that minefield. You should be watching over their shoulder and helping that. Although there's an option to set a restricted mode on it, there are ways within the YouTube realm to get past that, and your kids are still going to see videos you'd rather them not see.
Yeah.
And this becomes individual parents' discretion at what's watched. So,
definitely.
If for some reason you've been living under a rock and you're not aware of YouTube or how it works, you really should be
taking a look and being active with
be
it.
Be a parent.
Be a parent. Monitor
I don't
your
mean
kid.
Like transparent. All right.
But enough about YouTube. I'm honestly exhausted talking about it. Let's go to our AWA.
So today's Ask Us Anything comes from emailer Sunman95. And the question is, what happens when things get a little rough with a paid escort? So, Guy.
Well, I interpret escort to mean an escort class. Like the Defiant.
Of course.
From Star Trek was an escort.
Yeah.
So the only time that things got really, really rough for the Defiant was at the Battle of Chintaka, which was in DS9. Mm-hmm. And so what happens when things get a little rough with an escort is you have to abandon ship and get into the life pods and hope that the Jem'Hadar do not shoot you.
I thought every time a wormhole was involved, things got rough with the Defiant.
No. It was pretty smooth. No, things were pretty smooth whenever the wormhole was involved.
Okay. Chelsea.
Phrasing. I call my mom because she has trained dogs and could probably calm down the puppy. I always view dogs as an escort. I always have my dogs with me when I'm at my parents' house. I'm able to walk them and love on them, and they take very good care of me, especially because we once had a robber running through the neighborhood, and they barked profusely and let me know that that person was there, and that person did not come into our house. So when things get rough, you just need to call a dog professional.
Sounds
to calm
true.
The situation down.
Oh. So.
Yeah, Troy.
So what happens when things get a little rough with a paid escort? Well, if the Ford escort's already paid off, you don't want to ruin it because then you have to give money down the drain.
That's true.
So that means you're obviously on a rough road, and you should probably get to a smoother road or like a safe road. So I think that if things are going to get rough, you should always have a safe road to get you out of it.
Perfect.
So you should take the high road or the low road?
The safe road. Make sure you have a safe road.
Safe road. Smooth road.
Smoother.
Right.
Should you do a safety dance?
Could.
Well, there you go.
If you have an Ask Us Anything that you would like to ask us, please do. You can write to us at
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank all of the people who hold YouTubers accountable and everybody accountable and folks like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's about it.
Let me know what you think of our YouTube community. I know I'm very addicted and I'm very passionate about it because it's my main source of media right now. So I'd definitely like to hear your thoughts on this as well, just so that I don't have just my perspective, but other people as well.
And if you can think of any ways for us to help increase our viewership that doesn't involve being total jerks and making really distasteful videos and podcasts, please write to us at
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Well, okay, we'll talk to you next week. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And I've been Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank 321.
As always, you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Join the conversation on Twitter at RMGeekTank. You can also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Tumblr for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Feel free to join the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license.
Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis, C. Troy Floor, and Chelsea Kramer.
Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you. Please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade.
I'm Mike Davis asking, badges? We ain't got no badges. Good night.